Okay, thank you, Dave. So this is some work that a student, a PhD student, I've been supervising has done mainly. And basically what we're looking at is the how we can produce some forecast in an urban environment, given the dramatic increase in small-scale rooftop PV generation. And the idea here is that we want to try to take some monitoring stations and target another point which is measured, of course, and we want to see whether how well we can forecast the any generic point in principle. So we want to do this also by using the minimum amount of information and preferably using some meteorology rather than going into the power measurements. So we use this network of observations in Canberra. So this is Canberra, which is about 50 kilometer high and about 30 kilometer wide. So it's a pretty spread out, and the distance between these stations is around 20 kilometers, 15, 20 kilometers. So we have a number of stations. We just took three stations there, which are the most, the data with the best quality. We took the station in the middle there as our target station, which, as I said, is monitored. We know we monitor there all the meteorological variables and the power as well. So I'll show you in a minute how the stations look like. In fact, here it is. So this is the Black Mountain, the top one, which is a CSRO site, and it's the one with the best instrumentation. We have PV panels there for the power, and we also monitor something that we can't see here, which is the temperature of the panels at various points. And we have a number of instruments there. We won't use all of them for this exercise, but they are used for many other things. We have a sky camera, a spectroradiometer, oscillometer, and a solar tracker. Other stations look more like this. This is a station at the school. And we go to schools where we have they already have PV panels, and we install the meteorological variables, but we also measure the power. So we have all the necessary basic information for carrying out this forecasting exercise. Data are logged at typically 1 second, so they're pretty high. But we average, for practical reasons, we are looking at 5 minute averages for our exercise. Here's a closer look at what I was saying before. So you see the various instruments, and this data are actually available in real time on the web as a display. So you see 2 days of continuous information refreshed continually. The data can also be obtained by some of the data are online, but the low resolution. If you need a higher resolution, we can provide some of the data if you'd like to. In fact, now I can say also that the competition has finished. There was the global energy forecasting competition, and people didn't know at the time, but now I can say that these are the stations that were used for that competition. So three stations were those that... Again, the map here and the three stations that we used. And what we do here is pretty simple. And what we want to do is to learn about a few things. The first one is the importance of the predictors. So we try a few combinations of predictors. We also want to know about the importance of the stations. Whether we use one or two, does it make a difference? And also we use two statistical methods, and the third one is just a clear sky persistence. Okay, so we test this on two seasons because, as in many other places, Canberra has distinct seasons, and you can tell from here which season is which. So it's the winter, so June to September is here, and you get a lot of clear sky. So bear that in mind. In summer, however, the situation is rather different, and it's more mixed. So we the way we do this is we take 3 months for training and 1 month for prediction. So 3 months of full season, and so it'll be May to, I think it's May to August, and then September, something like that. Anyway, here is the first test to look at the importance of various predictors. And we try different combinations. They're pretty similar. The good thing is that we're trying to predict here the GHI. And in all cases, most cases at least, the forecast beat persistence, which is the black line there. And then there are differences there between all the various lines to do with the season. So the dashed lines, the higher ones there are for summer, because as you saw, the sky conditions are more variable, and as you can expect, the predictions are more problematic. And also there are, we have a bunch of curves that won't go into the details, but we'll see more details here. Basically, this is a this table summarizes the importance of the various variables. So we came up with predictors that the most important we found are GHI and air temperature and humidity. And for the methods, we found that in general, the winter, multilinear model is better, whereas in summer, the random forest beats the others. This is also an exercise I didn't show. We did the same similar exercise for power prediction. And this, again, is the summary table for the best predictors. And it's pretty much the same as for the or similar results as for the GHI. So then the next step is to look at the station dependence, and we want to see, you know, whether we gain anything by using two stations rather than one to target one station. We also have curves here, which include the local data, so the target station, and of course, taking this for winter, for example. We see that if you included the local data, you have better results. But normally, two stations are better than one, taking the other two stations. The thing here with winter is that actually the persistence works better up to about an hour than the statistical models. And then the statistical models are kicking. And I didn't mention, but you can see on the plot here that we are targeting 3 hours ahead. For summer, however, the errors are larger, but at least the methods are beating persistence all the way, and except perhaps for the beginning of the but again, I mean, this is a bit artificial. The comparison, if you look at the curves that don't contain the local data, wouldn't be able to use persistence anyway. So the results there are pretty reasonable for targeting that station without local data. And as you can see, after about 40 minutes or 50 minutes or thereabout, the other important information is that all data, whether you use the local data or not, doesn't make a huge difference. Then the next step is to, so this was for GHI. Then what we want to do is to say, can we use this GHI to predict power at the target station? So what we need to do then is to decompose GHI. And the way we approach this is to use this diffuse fraction versus clear sky index relationship, because we have that from one the Black Mountain Station, the best monitored, and so we worked out this empirical relationship between the two. And then we go through the, standard decomposition, where we take the diffuse fraction and multiply by GHI to get the diffuse. We go through the geometry here. The main thing, I guess, is that we assume that there is this relationship. It's not quite isotropic, the diffuse component. It's there is this coefficient here that is transforms the diffuse component to get back to the global irradiance on the tilted panel. So in this case, obviously, we know what the angles are, and it would be much more difficult when you generalize this to a larger number, but you can work on statistics and knowing that in an area, normally you have the panels oriented in a similar way, or you can try to get the information from other sources. Anyway, so this, if we apply that prediction using just the GHI and then through the conversion that I just showed, then we get this results. I don't have the here on the same page the results for when we don't apply the conversion, but I can tell you that the conversion works improves the forecast by several percents up to only 30-40 minutes, and then the two predictions, whether you convert or not, they converge basically. So the conversion is not effective at longer terms. Obviously, the error increases so large that whatever you do probably doesn't matter too much. But it's also interesting to look at the differentiation between different sky conditions. And so what we did here is to look at the clear sky conditions, so taking, I think, 0.9 as a threshold for the clear sky index. And we have here the multilinear and random forest together. So in the case of summer, on the left, we see that the prediction for clear sky conditions are obviously better than non-clear, but the two models are pretty close to each other. When you have the intermittent or variable conditions, and including overcast, then the random forest is superior to the multilinear. In the case of winter, you can see that the error for clear sky, which is the majority of cases, is lower than in summer, and then it jumps up in other cases, but it's also a question of fewer cases. The statistics is more probably less representative, and also there is obviously more variability given that the majority of cases is in clear sky, as I said. To summarize, so we carried out some solar power predictions, assuming knowledge of GHI and other meteorological variables at the number of sites, and using also direct and diffuse at one site and the geometry of PP panels to decompose and recompose the global component. We found that clear sky persistence is accurate for short lead times, 30 minutes in winter and 10 minutes in summer. Obviously you need the local data, which in general you wouldn't. So it's the other option is to use the other stations, and for those timescales, the performance is not so much worse than using the local data. And the longer lead times, random forest generally works better in summer, and multilinear in winter. It's just a reflection of the fact that there's more non-linearities in summer, and random forest is better at capturing those. In general, two sites are better than one, and yield better prediction for a third target site. And we haven't tested this on different geographies, and we can also look at dominant meteorology and relative sighting now that we have more stations. And the other extension, I guess, would be to start to use also some output from numerical weather predictions to increase the power of the predictors. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Good timing. Any questions for Alberto? We'll make them stand here for 5 minutes until somebody asks a question.
Yeah. Tell it to them.
Not me.